now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I would see your war face. Ah!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
With the Raiders being 2-0, we had to get Caliendo on the show.
I said, I'm going to make a video of Gruden just telling everybody, keep disrespecting Derek Carr.
Available now on the Rich Eisen Show app.
Derek Carr, average quarterback. We're looking for somebody else, man.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Charles Woodson. Still to come. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus Emmy Award winning actor Jeff Daniels. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Thrilled to be here with you on our quadcast. Love being on Peacock, NBCSN, Sirius XM Channel 211, Terrestrial Radio, certainly here locally in Southern California on the Mightier 1090. We say hello to all of our San Diego and Southern California friends, although the signal goes again, up around the pole and around the world. That's how strong it is. So we're thrilled to be heard and seen every single day. We don't take it for granted. We'd love to chat with you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here. Tweet with us, even though it's an at symbol. I don't like the language. You know, I don't like what it is. At Rich Eisen Show, Facebook, Instagram, as well.
We're everywhere.
We are everywhere. Good to see you, Chris Brockman, hey, over there. Del Tufo's got the day off again. What is he doing?
Well,
he's got a set.
Yeah,
he's
not off.
Set up.
It's not like he's cruising around the bay in his boat.
Jason Freeman, what is he doing right
now?
He's
boxing again. The actual fight is today. They're setting up
yesterday. There's a fight today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday was setup day. Today
was a Wednesday fight?
Today's birthday.
I guess it's bizarre.
All right.
Boxing game is back.
Is that right? It's good to know.
I'm sure Del Tufo will Instagram out him sitting at the board.
Very well. Very well. Yeah, so here we are right in the middle of an NFL work week. And when we first started on NFL Network in 2003, we came on week 11. Our 17-year anniversary is coming up in about 5 weeks. So we begin to realize that there's an ebb and flow to an NFL week. This is prior to Thursday Night Football's return. And Wednesday is the day, usually, when there's no pandemic, but even in a pandemic, when you hear from quarterbacks.
That's right.
Was their day.
That's right.
There's also a day that you would hear from a head coach for the first time since Sunday. Some coaches didn't talk until like Wednesday.
Right.
And, you know, there were a couple coaches that would talk almost every day. One of them was Bill Parcells, where he would talk every day, and we began to realize a Jersey guy who's a big boss talking extemporaneously and letting you know his innermost thoughts kind of like made us the Dr. Melfi in this equation. And we would just play his press conference. We would just play 4 or 5 minutes of it on NFL Total Access, like uncut tuna, like fresh tuna is what we called it. And it was amazing. It was just amazing how he would go parry and thrust with the Dallas media. That's where he was at the time. And say what you will about Belichick. Maybe he's from the Parcells world. Okay. But the guy speaks almost every day. He does. He's available a lot. Doesn't tell you a lot sometimes. And today he showed up. This is how he showed up on his Zoom. That is not doctored or anything. I don't know if is that. I think that's the way they sell the shirts now, right? I'm serious, by the way.
I don't know that. I got a feeling this is like, his favorite hoodie. This might go back to the first Super Bowl for all we know.
I think the shirt itself was established in 1960.
Nice.
And I want to say this because there's been a lot of commentary about this. And I want to.
It's been really funny.
I want to back the play of my NFL 100 all-time team friend.
Twitter's been really funny about it this morning.
I want to back the play here. All right. For a guy, honestly, when he's at a Super Bowl press conference, whatever.
Suited
and booted.
Looks great.
When he showed up on Letterman.
I know.
The famed gif of him, like, cackling that everyone puts out there whenever something goes the Patriots' way.
Yeah.
That's on Letterman. He's suited and booted. He does suit and boot.
I mean, NFL opening night, Super Bowl week.
Just suited. Speaking on behalf of, I think, the human race.
Okay. All right? Okay. It's bold.
We all want to find ourselves in a position in life where we can dress like this for work.
Don't they always say dress for the job you want? What job does Bill want right now?
Well, you know what? You know what he wants when he shows up there like that? He wants you to do your job.
I'd like him
and
to
him telling
use
people,
a comb.
Him telling people successfully do your job for as long as he has given him the license that we all would love to have. You know, I once upon a time had an agent, may he rest in peace, named Steve Lefkowitz.
Okay.
Okay. And there are many in the business might remember him. He's been gone a long time. He once asked me a question when I first started in the business. What do you want out of your career? What's the, like, if you could have one thing out of your career, what would it be? I didn't know how to answer it. Like, I'd just been on SportsCenter for like 2-3 years. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I could do with this opportunity and keep making it bigger and bigger. And many different ways being told that I could only have the job that I wanted. And it was still a dream job, but I wanted to. And I was also in a very deep end of the pool. I mean, all you got to do is just look up the roster of SportsCenter from 96 to like 99, and I'm in my late 20s trying to figure this out. And I really didn't know my you-know-what from my elbow. And I didn't know how to answer the question. Prestige? Money? You know, like fame? I didn't know how to answer it. And his answer was something I'll never forget, which is why I'm bringing it up today. You want to be able to control your own assignments. Because everything else you just said will come from that. And you will be more than happy to go to work because you're doing what you want to do. He goes, name the people in our business, your business, that can do that. And it took me a while to come up with, to fill up maybe both hands. That's what he said. And I thought of that when I saw this photograph today. He's able to choose his own assignment, his own clothes, his own, because he's Bill friggin' Belichick. He might hear about it from loved ones in his life.
Oh, I'm sure Linda's not.
I don't understand.
I mean, come on.
Okay. That's not the guy who was on Nantucket, the cover of Nantucket magazine.
No, definitely not. There's no less than 6 holes around the neck in that sweatshirt.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, sleeves.
The size of a quarter. It's coming apart at the seams.
His hair hasn't seen a comb in a week. Like, what is going on there?
He's looking at film of the Las Vegas Raiders. He might have just looked at Darren Waller's tape.
I was going to say, did Waller keep him up all night? He did have high praise for Darren yesterday.
So I just want to back the play of B squared right there, man.
A lot of people tweeting out Bill in a suit, like February 2020.
Oh, yeah, right. And then this is now.
You know, after six months of a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty good.
Explanation for what happened.
Thank you very much. I do have an explanation. He can do this. This is the goal. Like, do you know, I do like wearing sweaters and button-down shirts.
Sure.
jackets and whatever and being suited and booted.
Right.
But would I love to show up just like dressed like a t-shirt and whatever? Would I hear about it from loved ones in life? But I can't, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, don't you think we'd hear from Peacock or somebody like, what did you,
why you might you get want? A text of like, well, interesting outfit.
Yeah. Like what's up? That'd be one time. Then the second time would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well.
Like if I showed up to NFL game day morning like that,
I think you should.
They would be like, when are you changing?
I think you should actually start.
I you know what I mean? Like
the show on Sunday wearing this.
Like that. You know, like I'm fortunate to have had the job that I've had. Right. 17 years. I've put in the time. I've put in the work.
Yeah.
But still, if I show up to work Sunday dressed like that, they will say to me, when are you changing?
You think giant mirrors could be like, hey, what's going on?
Further up the chain than that. Keep going. Q, I mean, name them all.
Even Ryan Rollout,
I might even get like, you know, an RG1 text. Like, what are you doing? Like the commissioner, when I first showed up wearing a beard.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Goodell was like, what's on your face?
I do remember that.
Is what he said to me. What's on your face and why are you doing that?
But then you explained that.
No, I did.
That Susie likes it.
Yes. And
so
no, look, I'm still wearing, like, yeah. I'm still
oh, looks good.
Rocking it, if
yeah,
I may.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm saying is I've gotten into a certain spot within my own sphere of influence. I still can't even show up like this.
Sphere of influence.
This guy is Bill Belichick, and he's going to show up on a Zoom. Do you think Robert Kraft would even just say, hey, what's up with that? No.
No.
Because
we're not messing with
anything.
yeah, right.
This, you could say you're not messing with success. That's the picture of success in New England.
It's like Bill's auditioning for Hangover 4.
And then I've made my point. We're all trying to achieve this chi.
Which is amazing.
Who can do that? Nobody.
I mean, you got Cliff Kingsbury on one spectrum, and then you got Bill on the other.
With his tailored Italian
like Bond villain set up for the draft, and then Bill's got a holy sleeveless sweatshirt.
Oh, baby.
I love it.
There it is.
That's our guy.
Fire's lit. Hashtag
fire's
lit.
They're both our guys. We love both of them.
There's enough room.
Plenty of
room. There's enough room. The tent is that large.
Sure is.
And here's the reason why they're not going to say anything. If you wouldn't mind, Don Bowie, put up the week 3 schedule. Patriots and the Raiders are a huge game.
Nance and Romo on
Patriots
scene.
And Raiders are a huge football game.
There are some huge games.
That's a one early game. By the way, early game along with the 0-2 Texans going to Pittsburgh needing a win.
Huge game.
2-1 Pittsburgh. The Vikings are 0-2 welcoming in 2-0 Tennessee into their house. The Rams fly west to east for a second consecutive week. 2-0 versus 2-0 with the Bills and the Rams there. San Francisco kicking the tires on that MetLife turf, sitting there at 1-1 with the rest of the division at 2-0. The Washington football team and the Browns at 1-1. One of those teams is going to be 2-1. The Chicago Bears at 2-0 against the Falcons, who are still staring at the fidget spinner of an onside kick at 0-2.
And Julio might be more hurt than is let on.
It looks like Justin Herbert's getting the start against Carolina minus Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
The Jets, I mean, easily, in my mind, the worst 0-2 team that's going to be entering week number 3 against the Colts team that needs to win their second in a row. Look at the star in Seattle. Come on. Bucks in Denver. Roll tape of Tom Brady's times in Denver being somewhat rough.
Very difficult.
The Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray at 2-0. The Sunday nighter is off the charts, and then the Monday nighter is stupid ridiculous.
I'm also excited for 5 afternoon games. The last 2 weeks, there's only been 3, so Red Zone will be popping.
What a week 3. By the way, it all kicks off with Thursday Night Football. Don, can you get those sound bites ready? you know, because it's not just something in my paycheck to mention it. It's on NFL Network exclusively.
It's kind of a fun game.
Come on.
And I did just go hire a register.
Two guys who are out of you know what's to give. One who's been through it all because he started for 19 different teams.
Right.
And the other one is Gardner Minshew, who is like Burt Reynolds in cleats in the NFL. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick showing up talking about the battle of the facial hair that's on the line.
The mustache versus the beard. I think the beard is a cooler look. And I think guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beards, so they just stick with the mustache. But my wife appreciates the mustache trimmed up a little bit more. But she does hate the beard, too. So I guess that's a lose-lose for me.
By the way, that clearly looks like change your background Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And I just love that Ryan's just right on top of the camera. It fills up the whole damn space right there. So you get to see everything. Like, the beard doesn't even fit the screen. That's how glorious and flowing it is. And then I just like the smack talk saying that Minshew can't grow out the whole situation because of the patchy issues that one would have. Mm. Some people have it.
True.
All right. Here's here's Minshew responding on his own Zoom.
You know, I think I've shown I can grow a beard with no patchy sides. But you know, I'm gonna have respect for my elders. You know, especially when they're much, much elder. Be respectful.
Gardner Minshew, everybody, chewing gum. Seriously, like, that's like a scene from Hooper. That's like Cannonball Run.
It's amazing.
Literally, that's Cannonball Run. He's like Burt Reynolds chewing gum. Put Norm Macdonald. Norm Macdonald should play Gardner Minshew. Put the big hat on him.
Turd Ferguson. It's funny.
Ferguson.
Funny name.
We should get Norm Macdonald playing Gardner Minshew.
Pretty good.
Why wouldn't you watch Thursday Night Football tomorrow night for either the hottest mess possible or windows that are so tight it doesn't matter? Because they're throwing it in there.
The keyholes.
Oh, my gosh.
I think there's going to be a lot of offense tomorrow. I'm excited.
And people are picking up Gardner Minshew left and right in their fantasy leagues.
He is everyone's week three waiver darling at the quarterback position.
I got Mike Davis.
Okay, good. I mean, you got him. It's at least 4 weeks.
I don't know about that.
I think he's going to put up some points. Just by sheer
what a hot
necessity.
Mess.
He caught 8 passes in the second half.
Okay, good.
Week,
let's let's go. You know, let's go. It's his opportunity.
Right. I think you're fine.
Fine.
I'm trying to talk.
All right. Let's take a phone call and then we'll get to Kyle Brandt. Let's go to. What am I going to do here? Oh man, I could go any different way here. Let's go to Al in Pennsylvania because he's got an axe to grind. What's up, Al?
Oh, Rich, am I on?
Yes, you are on, Al. What's going on, man?
Okay. All right, just a little bit of an issue.
What's your issue?
I'm going to sound a little cynical. It was great to see that you were talking to Charles Woodson here before. One of my all-time favorite Raiders.
Okay.
I have been a Raider fan since probably the late 1960s.
Look at this.
Mid-late 1960s.
Okay.
And I know how the Hall of Fame committee seems to have an issue about putting Raiders into the Hall of Fame. So... What I want to say is that there's no question that Charles Woodson is the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
But it all depends on which team he's going to represent going in. If he goes in as a Green Bay Packer, he'll be in just like that. Hall of Fame committee has no problem at all putting Packers, Steelers, Cowboys,
Al,
any team.
I love this, by the way. Al, you sound like a very upstanding individual. And I say this with the utmost of respect. Are you wearing a tinfoil hat right now, Al? Like, is your hat? Because I will tell you this.
I was going to be a little cynical because I mean, I've seen how the Hall of Fame. I mean, the biggest issue I ever had with the Hall of Fame,
yes,
is when they waited till Kenny Stabler passed away.
No, I know, and
in the Hall of Fame,
and God
Kenny
bless
Stabler
that
was the first ballot Hall of Famer.
No, and God bless the fact that right now, and thank you for the call, Al. God bless that Tom Flores is still alive, right, and that he's been finally selected by the committee in charge of selecting coaches that he's finally gotten the opportunity. He's going to go in. But there's no, like, literally these, it's a room filled with selectors. And all they want to do is get the hell out of the room as short amount of time as possible, but also still take their responsibility seriously.
Yeah, it's a long
Nobody's going to be sitting in the room with Charles Woodson saying, are we considering him as a Packer or a Raider? Unless there is such a disparity between the tenures of both careers there. And there isn't. There isn't. There is not.
I don't think so.
No, there is not.
What a Super Bowl.
But nobody's going to sit there and go, well, we hate the Raiders, so let's not put him in. That's not going to happen.
I mean, him and Peyton Manning's conversation should take less than 30 seconds.
It should be over.
Yeah.
They should just say, here's the name.
Hey, Charles Woodson.
Right.
Aye.
On.
Like right down the
Move
line.
Move on. Move on. Right. 844-204-RICH. There's still time to take your phone calls. Poll question is a great one. The most rewatchable of the two films that are up for grabs in conversation, Shawshank Redemption, which came out 26 years ago today, or Remember the Titans, which came out 20 years ago today. Kyle Brandt is an expert on this subject and more. We'll talk football, pop culture with one of our favorites, Kyle Brandt, when we come back.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Kyle Brandt's going to join us in about 90 seconds' time when the NBC audience joins us on the Sportsnet. NBCSN joins us in about 90 seconds' time. We've also got another special poll question for Kyle as well.
We do.
This is how good our poll question is today, is that or how good of a movie Shawshank Redemption is, or how about him? How great a creator of stories and storytelling Stephen King is that we have a breakout poll from our poll question.
Love it.
Most rewatchable movie of the two. And the two choices are Shawshank Redemption and Remember the Titans. Shawshank came out 26 years ago today. Remember the Titans 20 years ago today. And then based on the Shawshank Redemption, which is the best film based on a Stephen King work? You know my answer. And they're all over the map, from The Shawshank Redemption, Misery, The Shining, and Stand By Me. And we didn't even include The Green Mile and or Carrie or what, Pet Sematary,
yeah,
or
so many.
Running Man. We could do another breakout of the breakout.
We could do a bracket.
But only one is directed by Stanley Kubrick. Period. End of story. All right. We're back with the NBCSN audience in mere seconds right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. NBC Sports on Peacock. We stream right in the middle of the day, every day, noon Eastern, right after Dan Patrick take you to Brother from Another. A fascinating story to me is playing out in Philadelphia with the Eagles playing season. Starting out 0-2, Joey Burrow coming in, number one overall selection, Cincinnati Bengal. He's thrown it, I think it's amazing. In start two, he almost matched his number of attempts, almost matched the number of touchdowns that he came up with last year. 61. He had one more attempt than number of touchdowns he had last year. Something that bears out. Just another monster game, and it involves the Bengals. That's how great week three schedule is. And this man knows that better than anybody else. One of the very entertaining quartet every single day at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network and Good Morning Football. And the host of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, the podcast on Spotify and The Ringer. His guest is Steve Smith Sr. this week. That's fun. I imagine you iced up for that one, Kyle, correct?
You have to. You have to ice up when Steve's coming on. And I asked Steve, I said, can we get into, never mind the origin story of Ice Up, son. I know it has to do with Aqib Talib and the Patriots. What is the legacy now?
Yes.
And he said it's that thing that people yell at him on the streets as they're driving by in a cab. They want Ice Up stunned by Steve Smith. And yeah. I said, did they just constantly come up to you and say it? And he says, yes, but I never say it anymore. And I said, Steve, level with me. You don't say it when you're, you know, you need, you're at the restaurant and you want a little more ice in your water. You don't say it to the waiter to get a rise out of him, say, ice up, son. He says, no, never. I said, Steve, I don't believe you. When you go into the training room after workout, you don't say ice up, son, when you get in the bath. He swears no, but he smiled. I think he does.
Okay, so then deep down, does he, though, give the people what they want? With the autograph, does he do that? Because, as you know, Steve Smith does not suffer gladly on occasion.
No. We went into a long conversation, Rich, about sometimes those people want the autograph at the restaurant at your table when you're there with your wife.
Forget
even
it.
When it's Valentine's Day, and there is nothing written on that autograph close to ice up sign. It's probably more close to two words and seven letters. If you know Steve, he doesn't suffer fools.
He does not. To take in Kyle along with Steve Smith on that pod that drops today every single Wednesday, 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, The Ringer, and Spotify. Let's get into the conversation of week three. The storyline through 2 weeks would be what? Writ large, sir. What are you talking about the most? What do you think is the biggest storyline so far through 2 weeks?
Well, it's we're going into this Monday nighter, Rich, and it's like the things and dreams are made of. We had Chiefs Ravens already. And, you know, we had the great Dan Hansa from the Around the NFL podcast, who does the power rankings every week for NFL.com.
Yes.
And I said, have we ever had a Monday night matchup, or even Sunday night, Thursday night, a primetime matchup between the 1 and 2 in your power rankings? Because that's where they are, Chiefs and Ravens, 1 and 2. He said, not that I can remember. Incidentally, Rich, in his 31 and 32 spots on the power rankings, were both the Jets and the Giants, which is also a first in the history of those NFL.com rankings. So there's your two storylines, I guess, both the yin and yang, the smiling and the crying theater masks, were the New York all the way at the bottom times two, and then the Chiefs and Ravens are just going to decide to run this back, I guess, and Mahomes and Lamar are continue to take over the league.
So then I guess which is the best NFC team, do you think? What do you think is emerging on that front? Because even the Saints knocking the Bucks down a peg, or at least showing us that it's going to take some time for Brady to materialize. The Saints have questions, like Drew Brees is now shot. Like there's no Cincinnati for them to move on to. Certainly when it's Aaron Rodgers coming in, you know, there have been some bright spots. You could even make a case for the Arizona Cardinals. Would you?
The Arizona Cardinals are great. When it's prediction week and everyone picks their division winners and wild cards, I turned heads, which I wasn't trying to do, by predicting that the Los Angeles Rams are going to win the NFC West. And everybody freaked out as if I made some outlandish pick that the Jaguars are going to win the Super Bowl. No, I think the Rams are going to win the West. I still think it's the best division. Somehow it's happened, Rich, and only one off year, the Sean McVay thing became yesterday's news. Never mind Cincinnati, we're on to Kingsbury. We're on to Shanahan. The guy who took over the league in about 2 years and was the greatest coach we'd ever seen at the youngest age was, he's done. He doesn't have Todd Gurley anymore. He doesn't need Todd Gurley. The best two players on the whole team are on defense, and they're probably two of the top 10 to 15 players in the whole league, and they've come out with two great wins right now. I don't know if anybody in America could name one of their running backs or one of their receivers, maybe only because his name is Cooper Kupp and it's a great name, but they don't have an MVP candidate. They don't have an Offensive Player of the Year candidate, but I still think they have one of the best coaches in the league. I love the Rams. Obviously, I love the Packers, and this has been absolutely wild, Rich, because if you buy into it, you and I have talked many times about the Aaron Rodgers farewell tour, revenge tour, middle finger tour, whatever you want to call it. It has been a glorious shock and awe display from the two of them. And, it's with great malice, with great pain, he has distributed to these two teams. And they look like one of the best teams in football.
And that Sunday night game on NBC with Drew Brees and the Saints coming off of that Monday night loss, and then the conversation by Sunday, honestly, it'll be amazing if Drew Brees can even crawl. You know what I mean? Like he should come out wearing Depends based on the conversation that's being had about him right now. And I would not go there yesterday. I won't go there. It seemed like he just took what was in front of him. And even a GOAT who's got every damn passing record is going to take a while without the guy who he looks for pretty much on every snap not being there. That's the way I'm looking at Drew Brees right now.
And look at it this way, too. It was easily, Rich, one of the worst games ever played by a quarterback who threw for over 300 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and was losing the offensive player of the year and almost won on the road. One of the worst games ever. What is this storyline? Is it one of these things where people just want it so bad, they want Drew Brees to be hashtag washed, that they're just deciding that it's happened because he threw one bad pick? The pick he threw in that game had nothing to do with arm strength or virility or age. He just made a bad pick. It was a bad read. He's done it a million times. He'll do it more. It's fine. I'm not there, and I take it personally because I went and Googled this after that Raiders game when I started hearing everybody saying Drew Brees is done. Drew Brees is exactly 9 days older than me. January of 1979. So I take it very personally when someone says that he is too old and cannot do his job anymore. I personally have a cacophony of moans and groans just to tie my shoes right now.
Yes.
I'm getting old. So the fact that Drew Brees is even out there hucking it around and nearly beating the Raiders, don't come and tell me he's washed. That means I'm washed.
And by the way, Kyle Brandt, perfect timing for you to talk about your age and feeling older potentially than your actual age for the cacophony that you mentioned to be going on in the background. Who's that? Which Brandt am I hearing in the background during this conversation?
I'm glad you heard that. I'm sure he is too. That's young 6-year-old Calvin Brandt, who is in the next room on his laptop doing home learning, which you can hear. That's the American educational system you can hear in the next room.
Sounds like everything's in order.
No, it's great. We're all buckled down, and he's in there learning what 5 + 4 is. And if you take away 3 apples from the 9 apples, how many apples are left? And that's what we're doing here on September 23rd, 2020. That's great. I'm talking to you about Drew Brees getting old,
right?
And Calvin Brandt is probably opening other tabs he's not supposed to open.
Exactly.
And look, now here's 2 4-year-olds walking in as I'm talking to national radio and television.
Fantastic. Good afternoon, football. Right there. Good night, football. With Kyle Brandt.
In the evening on NFL Network, it's total access. Here in the Brandt home this afternoon, it's total access.
That's
as
it.
Always.
Hey, now, everybody. Kyle Brandt. then let's just return a little bit of football, and then we'll gaze at our pop culture questions that we've gotten all teed up for you. So the slim margin between being 2-0 and 0-2, the Chicago Bears are the personification of it. Clearly, if DeAndre Swift clutches that ball at the end of week one, or Daniel Jones gets a defensive pass interference instead of an offensive pass interference, or finds someone in the end zone, the Bears could be 0-2. And with Cam performing the way that he would be looking at so far for New England, I think would create a huge you-know-what storm. Based on the conversation I had with you back in the spring, where I thought Cam would be perfect for Chicago. I understand that might wipe out the whole Trubisky experiment, that they still are putting all of their eggs into that basket. But wouldn't Cam be perfect in Chicago right now? That would be a much better 2-0, I think, if that Cam showed up in Chicago. Don't you think, Carl?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I do, Rich. And Trubisky's been pretty good. I mean, he's been good, Mitch. They say that Maserati Mitch is when he's got it going well. But I have discovered the alias I call Miata Mitch, which is a wildly different Mitch and doesn't work as well. But we've had mostly Maserati, and yet Cam is still just a completely different piece of horsepower. And I will never really know until years from now, maybe, what exactly the Bears did in the offseason and who they did or did not pursue. We know there were whisperings that Nagy quickly shuttled about that they were interested in Brady, and they tried to get Brady. It could be the exact same thing for Cam, and it didn't work out. I don't know. But you asked me a couple questions ago, what's been the biggest story of the NFL? And we talked about the teams at the top and the bottom. Cam has looked awesome.
No doubt.
And I just awesome. And week one is fine. You had a running game plan against the Dolphins, and he looked like he was pretty strong and healthy, and that was great. It was being down 2 scores to Russell Wilson in the second half and just chucking it to Julian Edelman for 170 yards and N'Keal Harry coming out of the clouds out of nowhere. And he's basically doing it with the same guys Brady wasn't doing it with last year. So Cam is very scary. I'm annoyed by it if I'm a Bears fan. And I got to say, as good as they look, I'm a little scared by it as a Bills fan, too.
You know what, man? If New England gets off the mat in the manner in which we're seeing them, and by off the mat, I mean they looked like that they were going to go into their Tom Brady, post-Tom Brady world with Jared Stidham at quarterback, and instead the 2015 Cam shows up in 2020 in New England, then any other team that had a shot at Cam and just let him sit at home until Belichick could ring the phone up has nobody but themselves to blame, especially if Belichick, when he dialed up Cam Newton, looked like he did on today's Zoom. Did that piece of gloriousness occur during the window of Good Morning Football, or is that something you're going to hit tomorrow?
No, it didn't. But it's a piece of gloriousness, a threadbare piece. Bill Belichick. His clothes, we've been talking about for 25 years. But yes. Today's look, even by yes. his standards,
yes.
normally it looks like he dresses out of the hamper. Today he was dressed like a hostage. Hostage chic, I call it. It was
yes.
That person wearing that shirt is holding up today's newspaper and saying they're treating us okay and giving us plenty of food. And I just, you have to respect. A lot of people claim they don't care what people think of them.
Yes.
They don't care what they're... That is not caring. That is a zero out of a trillion
yes.
level of caring what you look like. Good Lord. What? That thing, it said, I think it said built, it established in 1920, and it's referring to the Patriots. I think it's referring to the garment itself.
Hey, that's the line I used earlier. That's why we're two peas in a pod. It looks like Flintstone, Bill, is really what it looks like to me. You know, it really is like Bill, I think, got to the Zoom by using his feet under the floor of the car to get there, is what it looked like to me. You know, but it also, as we discussed it earlier, that this is the goal in life, is to have such a good job and be so damn good at it that you could show up to work like that and nobody will say a word to you. Nobody.
It's true.
Nobody.
Our mutual friend Paul Rudd once, I asked
yes.
him recently, I said, why aren't you on Twitter? Everybody's on Twitter. Every one of your Avengers co-stars is on there. Every other movie star. You're not on there? And he goes, listen, man, at this point in life, just tell me where to stand. That's all I can. Just tell me where to stand. I just want to do the job and go home. I'm mm-hmm. not. Just tell me where to stand. I think Belichick is at that. Just tell me where to stand and look. And I aspire to get there one day.
Me too. A few minutes left with Kyle Brandt. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt. Paul Rudd was a guest on it. You should check it out. Spotify and Ringer. Steve Smith Sr. is the latest guest dropping today. All right. Ask the poll question of Kyle Brandt, if you don't mind.
All right, Chris Kyle, Brockman. I'm sure you're aware of this, but two great movies were released on this day in separate years. 1994, Shawshank Redemption. 2000, Remember the Titans. What's the more rewatchable movie?
I always remember the Titans. I do, and I love the movie, and I love a young Hayden Panettiere just chewing up scenery as one of the daughters, and Denzel, of course. However, there is no scene in which the players on the football team or the coaching staff sit there drinking icy cold bohemian style beer like free men who could be tarring the roof of one of their own house. There is never a moment where Denzel says, as for Andy, he spent that break honking in the shade, sort of a strange little smile on his face, watching us drink his beer. Some did think he did it to curry favor with the gods or to make a few friends among us cons. Me, I believe he did it just to feel normal again, if only for a short while. It's Shawshank and a Runaway. It's unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is really
a great response, and
Morgan
also
Freeman.
Proof that you have rewatched that movie
wow.
a lot.
That was impressive.
Over and over.
So then ask him the breakout question, Chris. This is a breakout question we have not asked yet. We're going to post on our Twitter feed. We've only unpacked it just moments ago. We did this, cooked this up just for you, Kyle Brandt.
Yes, we're going to throw this out there, too. What's the best Stephen King adaptation into a movie? Shawshank Redemption, Misery, The Shining, Stand
yep.
By Me.
Okay. My senior thesis in college was about how to make movies from books, and one of the principal texts was The Shining.
So this is Princeton. This is Princeton
by
born.
Kubrick and the book by King, of course. And at the end, people don't know in the book there is no hedge maze in the book, and the Overlook Hotel actually explodes at the end of the movie in the book. It's wildly different, and Stephen King did not like the movie. So listen, all the money is on The Shining for me. However, however, that's probably the best movie. My favorite, I'm not going to lie, I'm sitting there, Schwarzenegger and Richard Dawson just shooting looks back across the stage.
Running Man.
Who loves you and who do you love? I love The Running Man. It's a guilty
Same.
Pleasure that I'm totally proud of.
No.
The best is The Shining. My favorite is Mad Dog Ben Richards in The Running Man.
Okay, so let's unpack this one by one.
I definitely agree.
Your answer not only goes by gut and feel, but through the academic world of Princeton. What did you receive on that paper that you wrote on?
A-.
Okay.
And the worst part is, Rich, the only reason I got A- is I didn't proofread and I had typos and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Job.
Even Princeton men do not proofread. How about that? Okay, now then, the word adaptation is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, who better than, I mean, you want to talk about going toe-to-toe of my vision, Stephen King versus Stanley Kubrick is definitely sort of the heavyweight fight that you want. Right. And I know Stephen King might not have liked the adaptation, but that is Kubrick's version of Stephen King. I mean, how do you not give that the winner just because it's Kubrick adapting it and the way he did adapt it? That's the winner to me.
It's really good. It's apparently the scene when Jack is going after Shelley and she's got the bat and trying to hit him. Apparently, Rich Kubrick did like 76 takes of that scene to the point where the actors were having actual mental breakdowns. And I think on take 76, they finally got it. From what I've read, King not terribly welcome on the set, was going to visit, and Kubrick not really interested in it. King also not interested. I think there was acrimony. So I think that also ended up in the script and the movie. I love it. I absolutely love it. But, Rich, don't tell me you don't have a soft spot for The Running Man.
Kyle. I know you do. Kyle, this is how soft my spot is for The Running Man. The pleasure is not guilty. It's guilty as charged pleasure. I am an unabashed lover of that film, because part of me not only loves Schwarzenegger movies, but part of me also, what was I born to give away on the planet, Chris Brockman?
Cash and prizes.
So the fact that Richard Dawson is a protagonist in this film, giving away at one point home versions of The Running Man to fans in the audience of a game show turned dystopian, is to me, with Jim Brown, and I do believe he was still Jesse the Body Ventura prior to him being Governor the Mind Ventura. And three words at the time of my life that I will never forget, Maria Conchita Alonso.
Hello.
That's it. Rip the knob off whenever The Running Man is on, Kyle. How does that
Fantastic.
For an answer?
It's Maria Conchita Alonso in the role of Miss Amber Valdez, and it's Jesse the Body Ventura asking the questions, are you ready for pain? Are you ready for suffering? If the answer is yes, then you're ready for Captain Freedom's workout. And boy, was I ready. Oh, my gosh. It's the best. I love that movie.
I'll be back. Only in a rerun.
Only in a rerun.
Whitman, Price, and Haddad.
That's right.
You remember them. Basking in the Maui sun. Whitman, Price, and Haddad.
Oh, my
Great
gosh.
Movie.
Kyle,
my fantasy team name one year was Whitman, Price, and Haddad.
How did Whitman, Price, and Haddad finish, Kyle? How did they finish?
Oh, yeah. I think we took Dominic Davis in the first round on the Texans, and it ended just like the real Whitman, Price, and Haddad, not basking in the fantasy sun. I think it ended, horribly. Respect to Yafet Kotto, wherever you may be.
That's right. How do we not even mention Yafet Kotto, the future Alonzo Mosley FBI of my favorite comedy?
Yes.
Thank you for the call, Kyle, as always. Just a pure joy. Thank you. Let's chat again next week.
Remember, all work, no play, make Rich a dull boy.
That's right. Too many takes makes Jack very angry. That's it right there. Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt, everybody. Fun stuff, man.
Fun stuff.
What is our poll question? You, by the way, get his podcast today, Spotify and Ringer. What is the poll question?
All right, so right now, Shawshank versus Remember the Titans for the more rewatchable movie. Shawshank leads 55-45 right now.
Okay. Don Bowie just told me, I don't know if this is funny or not, but The Running Man was set in the year 2019.
Yikes.
You know what I mean? And by the way, in truth, I was kind of wondering if The Running Man was appropriate to show my kids, because the taggers in Ultimate Tag are like straight out of The Running Man.
Okay, don't show your kids The Running Man.
Not yet, right?
Definitely not. If they're freaked out by Goonies,
I know
they can't see The Running Man.
But the if you will, bad guys in Ultimate Tag are like straight out of The Running Man, without the actual mayhem.
Right. Amazing. It's a great movie, man.
Speaking of these crazy times, make a plan to vote, people. There's so much going on in the state of Pennsylvania. with mail-in ballots, you've got to read up, please, if you're mailing in your ballot, because you have to put your ballot in a secrecy envelope inside of another envelope. Otherwise, it won't get counted. I mean, there's so much going on with court cases and what ballots can be done and what you can do with them, or if you do it, it doesn't get counted. Go to these sites and learn about voting in your location. IamAvoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. You can also register to vote there as well. We're back with more in a moment. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. At Rich Eisen Show, both on Twitter and on Instagram. Jeff Daniels will be joining us in hour number three. He plays Jim Comey in the two-night event that Showtime is putting on. Night one and night two coming up on Sunday and Monday on Showtime, The Comey Rules. And he plays the former FBI director, Jim Comey, in something that will be timely, I would say, to say the least. Fun stuff with Kyle Brandt right there, and Charles Woodson just joined us on the show in hour number one, Epics tonight, 9 Eastern time. Brett Favre was in Tampa, and Charles Woodson was in Las Vegas, and I'm in studio here in Los Angeles, and we have a great show, football show for you tonight on Epics at 9 Eastern time. We're back with the quadcast in just a mere matter of seconds. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We will take your phone calls right here during this segment, as we always do. Chris Brockman, you've got a news update coming up at the top of the next hour, correct? You've
correct.
Got that going on? All right, there's yes. lots going there on lots in our sport, in the real world as well. 844-204-RICH here. Let's go to Lonnie in Los Angeles. What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, man, how you doing?
How you been?
Sad day for us Chicagoans. Gale Sayers is the best running back I've ever seen. I remember my father screaming at the television when I was a little boy watching him. Barry Sanders is the closest I've ever seen to Gale Sayers.
Right.
And Gale Sayers did it on the mud and the bad surfaces of Wrigley Field and many of the stadiums in the National Football League. He was a great guy. I met him when I was a kid. Just, wow, dude. I'm like, I woke up with that news. It's just, 2020 is just not the year, dude.
I know.
It started with Kobe and it won't stop. It's just not the year, man. But I want all of you guys, the YouTube, a video by NFL Films, they call it Pro Football. Pro football is the greatest sport in America. It's the greatest sport in America. It teaches us how to get along with each other. It teaches us to work together. That's how life should be.
I agree.
It should be like a professional football team.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss and your being such a big fan of Gale Sayers, and I think you're also talking about what's going on in the real world, and I appreciate you calling in, Lonnie. Call back for sure. He's right that a locker room, certainly in the NFL, is an organism. It's a unit. It's something that needs to be together as one. And you know, and we definitely saw when everything was going on in the first blush of the shooting of Jacob Blake and what NFL teams were expressing and NBA teams were expressing, that the unity that was being shown by these teams was something to hopefully emulate. That's why the booing that was heard coming from portions of the stands in Kansas City was particularly disappointing, because all it was just a show of unity. There was nothing else being done except a show of unity. There was nothing on the field except guys with arms locked. And again, what Lonnie is mentioning as well is the news just breaking out of Louisville is that the Jefferson County Grand Jury has indicted one of the officers involved in the death of Breonna Taylor, two other officers involved in the death of Breonna Taylor, not indicted at all. One was a detective who's already been fired and indicted on three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, which, based on from what I'm reading, is about the bullets that were fired placed the neighbors of Breonna Taylor in jeopardy. So technically, this grand jury has just returned nothing in regards to the actual death of Breonna Taylor. And those who have been waiting for justice on the murder of somebody who was killed in her own home are now left with nothing. And all I will say is this, I just want everything to be peaceful, and whatever protests that will occur to be peaceful and nonviolent. I think that's part of what Lonnie was just saying. Just want to bring some of the real world into what's going on, and I'm imagining, I don't know what's going to happen with game four of tonight's NBA Eastern Conference Finals. As you know, the NBA play, there have been many NBA players who have not spoken about sports at all in their post-game commentary. Many of them talking about justice for Breonna Taylor. And again today, the grand jury in Jefferson County, three counts of wanton endangerment. So again, what that means from what I'm reading in just first blush during the commercial break is that this grand jury looked at everything and said, let's hold this officer accountable for endangering the lives of others, but nothing about ending the life of Breonna Taylor, which is beyond comprehension. I don't get that. And I'm not sitting in a grand jury room, and I don't have all the evidence in front of me, but it's just mind-boggling. And I'm sure many, many athletes will have the same reaction. So keep an eye on all of that as the NFL is about to play Thursday Night Football tomorrow night, Week 3. The NBA Eastern Conference Finals, Game 4 is tonight. Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals is tomorrow night. And my eyes are open and my ears are peeled, or my eyes are peeled and my ears are open about how players might react to that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Jeff Daniels is coming up in our third and final hour. I love this man's work. He is, you're talking about somebody's performance like this, the word sublime, I have to use that. He is playing Jim Comey in the Comey Rules on Showtime, and that's airing on Sunday night. He's a diehard Lions fan, so we'll kind of hit on all that. We're going to hit the pause button in this commercial break, come back for our third hour. We just had a lot of fun with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Charles Woodson is going to be part of tonight's NFL The Grind. By the way, that footage of Brett Favre showing up at the Tampa game, mm-hmm. that some players in Tampa were wondering, what's Brett Favre doing here? Because I can't even have my own family here. He was a correspondent. He was working it. Even though the Tom Brady Tampa Bay t-shirt might belie that. But hey, compared to Bill Belichick, that's like a three-piece suit. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our quadcast in just a few moments.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.